In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Our gospel lesson and sermon text this morning come from the 13th chapter of Matthew, the parable of the wheat and the weeds, one of the most beloved and cherished parables of the early church, and of the church throughout the centuries during difficult times of turmoil or persecution. And while today we might not be in a time of persecution, though some might differ, we are in a time of great turmoil. So perhaps it is our heart's turn this morning to turn to the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and to ask it for its comfort, for its counsel, and for its gentle challenge. The parable is this, that a planter plants good seed in his field, and he's hoping for a happy harvest of wheat. But in the night, an enemy comes and plants weeds in the midst of the wheat. And both begin to grow, and it's the servant who recognizes it first. They go to tell the planter, the horrible thing has happened. And they, out of their loyalty, they offer to root out the weeds right away. But the planter has a cooler head. He says, no, wait. Early in the stage, wheat and weeds look alike. And the roots of the weeds often go around the roots of the weeds. And if you pull up the weeds too soon, you pull up some of the wheat. No, wait. Patience, long-suffering. Wait for the time of harvest, when perhaps the stalks could be placed on tables, easily distinguished. And then we can bundle up the weeds. But the wheat becomes a happy end to abundant harvest. And thus the parable of the weeds and the wheat. I suggest today in this sermon that it has two sacred points for our souls. The first has to do with the mystery of wickedness. And the second, and more importantly, it teaches us how Christians can live in the face of difficulty. Perhaps that's why this parable has been so beloved during the difficult times of the two millennia of Christendom. But first, it makes us face the mystery of wickedness. Since time immemorial, human beings have exclaimed the question, why? Why? In the face of wickedness. Today, in our pandemic, we would not say, why the virus? Why the death? Why the suffering? And then the ills also that are taking place in the time of the pandemic. Many are crying, why the disparity between the have and the have not? Why the disparity between black and white? Why the disparity between those in power and those who are vulnerable? Why? And if we go back just a couple of years, a time that looked blissful to me, we longed for just a couple of years ago. But we were still exclaiming, why? Why the shooting down of the Malaysian Airlines? Why the escalation of conflict in the Gaza Strip between Israelis and Palestinians? Why the conflict over young refugee children on our southern border? If we go before that, we're still exclaiming, why? And before that, and the generation before that, why, what? All the way back, as far as human memory can go. Curiously, in this parable, Jesus spends very little attention on the why of wickedness. He simply says that it's here. He does, in the interpretation, name it, the devil, but it doesn't say why wickedness happens. It doesn't say the motive for the wickedness. It doesn't explain what we can do about the wickedness. He simply names it, and then 99% of the rest of his energy, the rest of the words, go into how the weak, how Christians can live strong lives in the face of difficulty. So perhaps with all of our ancestors, we might have to simply live with some of the mysteries of the whys of wickedness, but simply to name that we live in the kingdom of God, at least on this earth, with wheat and tares, with the presence of evil, with the presence of wrong, with the presence of wickedness. But we turn our attention to what gave Jesus attention in his parable of the wheat and the weeds. How do we live in the face of difficulty? And according to the parable, that the planter encourages long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, and patience as we live some of the difficult lives that we live. That doesn't mean that we are passive. Jesus stood before wickedness. He stood, he turned over the tables and the money changers in the temple. He confronted headstrong and prosecuted the scribes and the Pharisees. He stood with those who were vulnerable, who had no right, who had no ability to speak for themselves, like the adulterous woman. He stood for them boldly and bravely. But when it came to the judgment of human souls, He embodied the very message of his own parable, the weak and the weak. Only God at the end can judge the human soul. And there will be accountability. But that is only for God and only in the end. And Jesus exemplified how this is done. Just look at his life. How does this parable work? Well, think about Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas was one of the reasons of doing Jesus in. And yet, notice that Jesus did not summarily dismiss him early. He didn't just root him out, left. He might have lost some of the 12. At the end, when Jesus was dying on the cross, being tortured and killed, why didn't he just root out the wickedness, those who were killing him? But he didn't. He embodied the very truth of his own parable. He waited. And if he hadn't waited, perhaps he wouldn't have the conversion of that centurion. Remember, after the death of Jesus, the centurion looked at the face of Jesus to say, "Surely this was the Son of God." Jesus embodied the truth of his own parable. So as the master, must the servants be. As Jesus, must we be too. So yes, in our time, in our day, we stand at boldly and bravely in the face of racism and bigotry and hatred and wrong and wickedness. But when it comes time for judgment of another human soul, we must embody the principle of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. I had a beloved family member just a few years ago who was very involved in her local politics. And she was fighting what she considered a wicked policy in her town and local politics. And she stood bravely against it. Then she took a step too far. She stepped over the line of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. She began to talk about the politician who issued the policy to say his soul was rotten to the core. He was worthless and damned. And according to the parable of the wheat and the weeds, that was not for her to say. As tempting as that is, that is only for God and only for God in the end. So how might we this week honor the parable of this week, the parable of the wheat and the weeds? And I suggest two very tangible ways. First, with our words. Remember in the book of James, James tells us that the tongue is one of the smallest members of the body, but the most powerful member of the body. St. Augustine of Hippo said, we are what we say, we are what we pray. And so let us this week carry the parable of the wheat and the weeds with us, that image. And measure our words up against that parable throughout the week. Easier said than done. Stand against wickedness. But when we begin to slip into the judgment of another human soul, remember the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Remember our Lord in Judas. Remember our Lord on the cross. And then secondly, pray the parable. Have you ever thought about praying a parable? Let us, because this is the parable of the wheat, let us every day wake up in the morning and pray the parable of the wheat and the weeds. To say, Lord, let me be wheat. Because again, according to Augustine, who talks about this parable, we can't push a parable too hard. Because in the parable, a wheat is a weed all of its life. From the time of seed to the time of harvest. A weed is a weed, a tear all of its life. From the time of seed to the time of harvest. But a human being, according to Augustine, we never know what we might be tomorrow. I might be wheat today and tares tomorrow. I might be weed today and wheat tomorrow. So why not pray the parable and say, Lord, this day, let me be wheat all day long. Yes, I live in a mixed world, a field of wheat and tares, but let me be a follower of Jesus, a follower of your commandments, a lover of God, and help me to be wheat. May we pray the parable of the wheat and the weeds. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.